I be playing.
Hello and welcome again to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Mark Mayfield, Editorial Advisor to Student Media here at the University of Alabama, and with me is co-host Dr. Adam Sterrett, Assistant Vice President for Student Life. Adam, we're missing our Skybox compadre, Andrew Deer. I can't pronounce names today, sorry. Andrew Deer, who's out of town. But hey, it's homecoming here at UA, and the Crimson Tide has a big game with Missouri at Bryant-Denny beginning at 6 p.m. We've also got a special guest joining us in just a few minutes, Tommy Ford, who is an Associate Director of Athletics here at UA and has a new football book out that we're going to talk about. So, hey, it's homecoming.
It is homecoming. It's actually homecoming fall weather as well this week, and so there's a bit of a nip in the air here. Saturday morning, I think it got chilly, Wednesday, Thursday afternoon? And
it did.
Now actually feels like fall and homecoming, which will be a nice time for a 6 p.m. kickoff tonight. I'm not sure where Andrew is, right? He was kind of cagey about where he's
at. Yeah.
Probably some kind of secret Sun Belt meeting.
That he's embarrassed to name. It's probably, two teams with 0-5 records, 0-6 records.
But
that's exactly the kind of game Andrew likes.
He's in Bowling Green, Kentucky or
something. Yeah, exactly. It probably is, so. That's his thing. So, yeah, he headed out of town.
We returned to SEC action this week against Missouri, who's not had the greatest year, really, right? As far as the East goes, nobody really has outside Kentucky and Georgia.
I think they've got a really good offense, but I think they've got some defensive problems. Right. And they had a pretty close game, though, at South Carolina last week that I think they could have won, but it came down to the wire, I believe. I didn't watch that game, but I...
It's ugly. It was in the rainstorm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I think it was delayed even for a while, right?
Yep. Yeah, and South Carolina brought in their other quarterback, and it seems to have helped them out quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
We had our own blowout, as we expected, here last week.
Right, we did.
Not here, but,
Yep. At Arkansas, yeah, Bama. I think Bama... Did Tua play more than a half again?
No.
I mean... Bama could have named their score in that game.
Yep.
There were some defensive problems. Most of them, I believe, as the bench began to empty, but still some concern going on there.
It was really the perfect game for us in the way that we were up really early, and then the defense did have some issues. And so they scored a ton of points. I don't remember what the final was for them, but they scored a ton of points compared to who
they did.
How many they should have scored. And so that gives that gives Coach Saban some rat poison to kind of use in the locker room and build up the team. We saw the first semblances of a very interesting, I think, Jalen and Tua backfield. And so us using Jalen at the same time as Tua and in a package that seemed to be just a teaser for a package that's probably there that they're practicing that's just for the two of them that they're going to break out and probably some of these harder games coming up with LSU and the Iron Bowl, I would imagine. And so it's good that we didn't tease that too early this season, but I thought it was great to see that because that's a new wrinkle that just really has got to be tough to defend.
Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, it's exciting. They're two really great quarterbacks, and I think now to have them in the game at the same time is kind of amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's got to concern other teams,
Yep.
Bama's offense is just unbelievable. We've never seen anything quite like this. And they're probably going to break records. They're already on a pace to break the scoring record in terms of game average. I think 1945 team that went to the Rose Bowl actually has that record. And something in the 40s, 43, 44 points a game, I think, for the year. Bama's definitely on a track to break that. It'll get a little tougher now, as they get into the back half of the season with mostly SEC games. I think all SEC except for the Citadel game between Mississippi State and Auburn. Still, that offense is really on a roll and no signs of slowing down. Other games around, Auburn's got Tennessee coming in.
Tough loss in Starkville last week.
We sort of said there wasn't going to be much offense in that game. We actually might have got one right for a change.
23-9 or something like that?
Yeah.
It was a bad score.
And Auburn's offense has disappeared.
Yeah.
disappeared. I don't know what's going on there, but, you know, is Gus on the hot seat? I mean, he's got a huge contract extension, so yeah. I think I saw something where it's $49 million to get out of that or something. That may be wrong, but it's massive.
I don't know what happened to Stidham, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Their great hope there early on in the season that they finally got a quarterback that has some experience under center in big games and could actually throw the ball, and he's just completely been neutralized at this point.
Yeah, they're having trouble. And, of course, the Vols are still not good. You know, I do like Pruitt. I think he'll have him back on some good level. I still don't believe they're going to be a huge national championship contender anytime soon. So I think that's problematic for them.
You got to imagine Auburn's going to beat up on Tennessee this week, right, and take it out on them.
I would think they'll try to if they can score. I mean, they still might not score on Tennessee. We'll see. Georgia at LSU, the big game in the SEC, though.
Yeah, it's a huge game this afternoon before our kickoff. And really, in the West, LSU has started playing better and better.
Yeah.
And the East clearly seems to be Georgia's, and I don't think anybody – I mean, when we're talking about Kentucky as the closest competitor – maybe Florida, who got a big win last week.
Right.
Still, Georgia, it's their side of the conference, certainly, to win or lose at this point. And they'd have to do quite a bit starting this week to start losing.
Yeah, they do. Well, we're going to see, you know, a lot. We'll learn a lot more about them playing in Baton Rouge. Because I think that game, we'll talk about that a lot here later, but I think that game is going to be pretty competitive because it's in Baton Rouge.
Yep.
I think all of us would probably agree Georgia's got the better team right now, but that should be interesting how that unfolds. Yeah. Normally, I would say this UCF at Memphis game would be a real, you know, it's going to be high scoring. But, you know, UCF has creeped into the top 10, I believe. So this is interesting, you know, for Bama fans with the unofficial national champion down there in Florida. You know, we'll see how they do against Memphis. But, you know, Memphis has had great football teams the last few years, but not as good this year.
No. But still, the fact that we're talking about UCF at Memphis is kind of the point of why UCF is not the national championship, because they're
so
playing
true
against Memphis, you know, and this is going to be not a tough game for them, but this is their competition, and that's what they've got to change.
Right, absolutely. And then a big game nationally, I guess you could say, Wisconsin at Michigan. I got my khakis on today in honor of Harbaugh.
This is a tough
I'm going to have some whole milk soon.
Right. Wisconsin had some problems early in the season. They've quietly been winning games, and the rest of the Big Ten right now just doesn't have a lot going on. And so this certainly is going to go a long way as the Big Ten starts playing more conference games and better opponents here for the next three or four weeks.
And, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had a reunion of the Crimson White staff from the last 4 or 5 years maybe the last 6 or 7 years. They one of them, Jason Galloway, was here, who covers the Wisconsin for the Madison newspaper. He's the Wisconsin football beat writer. Does a great job. So I tend to keep up with the Badgers a little bit more because of him. So that should be a good game. We'll see. Yeah.
Well, and other than that, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Colorado, USC, really not the best slate of games this week. I would say our game, certainly, and then the LSU-Georgia game seems to be the two biggest. Tennessee-Auburn, you'd like it to be bigger. Duke-Georgia Tech, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, not a lot else out there in marquee matchups here going into the early fall. But all these weekends kind of pick up as we move through the rest of the season because we get closer and closer to conference championship time and seeing who's going to be in those big games.
Yeah. We do have, you know, the Pac-12 is kind of, you know, looking like they may not have a team in the Final Four, but Washington to Oregon is a big game out there
game
for those
right.
two, yeah. you know, to see. That'll sort of put who's going to be dominant in the Pac-12 because Stanford is not doing as well as people thought.
Notre Dame
and USC is not
game
doing
after
well.
Game after game too, and so they're going to take a slot from somebody if they
You're
keep
right.
this up. And they've
You're
got
right.
a lot of wins against Pac-12 teams, and so they're going to beat up a bunch of Pac-12 and ACC teams this year, and that'll look bad for both the Pac-12 and the ACC if this continues.
Yeah.
And start looking at two teams to sneak in from the SEC. So
yeah, we'll see. You know, Notre Dame will probably, if they continue to win, and right now they're favored in every game they have left, they could, you know, we may not have two SEC teams again in the Final Four because Notre Dame would probably, an undefeated Notre Dame will go in over a one-loss team.
Yep.
I really believe that. It'd be hard to keep them out, even though we may think, you know, if Bama or Georgia have just that one loss, let's say, in the SEC title game, I would still believe either team would probably beat Notre Dame, but it doesn't matter at that point. They're going to get they'll get in. Well, if Notre Dame will.
You could have a three-loss Pac-12 team at that time, too.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, look, that sort of sets the table a little bit for the games around the country. But right now we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk with Tommy Ford from UA Athletics. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
This is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone. Hey, hey,
hey. You're back in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's always a pleasure to have Tommy Ford in the studio with us. Tommy's an associate athletics director who oversees the A-Club, Alumni Association, and the Red Elephant Club, and is the author of 9 books dealing with Alabama football. His latest, Alabama Crimson Tide Football National Championship number 17, is in bookstores right now. We've got a copy in the studio right now, and it is beautiful. You can't see it on your radio. Tommy, it's great to have you with us again. This is your third or fourth time on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Adam. It's great to be here.
A longtime guest. Tommy's brought with us a lot of expertise about homecoming and Missouri. This year's homecoming theme is Excellence Lights the Crimson Flame. It's a long one this year.
Oh, really? Wow, I did not know
it's
that.
Good,
I should have known that,
right?
Yeah.
Excellence Lights the Crimson Flame. So we are here towards the tail end of homecoming week, and thanks again for being with us, Tommy.
Well, I appreciate it. Mark, Adam, great to see y'all.
Good to see you.
Homecoming's a special time, as we all know what homecoming is. When all the alums come back, and they come back for every game, actually, but the homecoming is so many more activities than a normal game weekend, especially with the campus and all the parade and the competition with floats and all that. And the Alumni Association has several activities, especially on homecoming. But our homecoming goes back to 1920, and was the brainchild of first-year UA athletics director Charles Bonnier. And by the way, he's also the one who introduced the awarding of athletic scholarships at Alabama. This was 1920.
Wow.
And he had come from Virginia Tech. And I don't know if he brought the homecoming idea with him from Tech or what. But other than 1943, we've had a homecoming, obviously, every year. And we didn't have a season in 43 because of World War II. But including that first homecoming victory over LSU in 1920, we've had 97 homecoming games.
Wow.
Our overall record is 83 wins, 13 losses, and one tie. So for whomever is listening, our homecoming game in 2020 will be our 100th homecoming game.
Okay.
So make note of that.
Absolutely. Got to start working on that.
Yeah, we will.
100th homecoming game in 2020, which is just two seasons away.
Okay.
31 different teams have provided our homecoming opposition. One team in particular has provided 25% of those games. Do y'all know who that would
guess,
be?
I'm going to guess Vandy. I don't know. Who would that – who you guess, Adam?
Gosh, I'm going to be wrong. I'll guess Arkansas.
Arkansas, okay.
Okay, well, neither one of you are close.
Well, of course not.
Of our 97 games, Mississippi State has been our opponent 24 times.
I should have known that because the first Bama game I ever attended here was homecoming 1968, Mississippi State.
Okay,
should have known. I should have at least guessed that.
A quarter of our homecoming games have been against Mississippi State. There's a tie between Southern Miss and Kentucky at 7 games each. For second place, and we've played Ole Miss 6 times, at LSU and Virginia Tech 5 times each. And of our 31 different opponents through these years, and not counting Missouri and Texas A&M, who just joined the SEC 6 years ago, we have played every SEC team at least once for homecoming, with one exception, and that's Auburn. The Auburn game has, as you know, for the most part, been at the end of the season. And homecoming is usually for a mid-season game.
Right.
Plus, we didn't play Auburn, for 41 years.
Right.
And talking about when it's held, as a matter of fact, of our 97 homecoming games, 2 have been played in September, 59 in October, 35 in November, and only 1 was played in December, and that was 1945. And in those games against those traditional 10 SEC opponents, we have a winning record over every one of them except, of all teams, Tennessee and Vanderbilt. We are 1-1 against both of them in homecoming games. And Coach Bryant was a perfect 25-0 in homecoming games from 1958 to 82, although several of them were very close calls.
That was part of his – didn't he have a run of like 70-something direct straight wins in Bryant?
In Bryant Denny, yeah.
And Denny at that
In Denny Stadium. And then after 76, Bryant Denny.
Right.
But unfortunately, we've had some memorable losses on homecoming. And I mentioned that we were 1-1 against Vandy, and that one loss came in Coach Ray Perkins' second year in 1984 when we lost 30-21.
Wow.
In Ray Perkins' second year.
Yeah.
And then there was the infamous game versus Ole Miss in 1988, a 22-12 loss, which resulted in a brick being thrown through Bill Curry's office window.
Hate to laugh about that. It's not funny, but I remember that.
Yeah, it was fact, and it happened. And actually, when we played Ole Miss a few weeks ago, AL.com did a big story about that incident and quoted the maintenance guy that cleaned up the glass. It was a pretty interesting story. And in that game, we were 0-11. In the passing department. So
Wow.
Then in 1990, Coach Stallings' first season, we lost 9-0 to Penn State, lost on 3 field goals.
Yeah.
But that kind of set the stage for Stallings' great, you know, defensive strategies and mindset for the next several years. And the interesting thing, why are we playing Penn State for homecoming?
That was my question, too. Why are we
why would we do that? Yeah.
Well, if you look at that schedule in 90, that was our only home game in October.
Okay.
And that is the reason we have played a lot of SEC games for homecoming, although it's not often, lately at least. That was the only home game in October. We were off a week, and then we were on the road for 3 weeks. So that's why Penn State was selected. And we lost to Louisiana Tech in 1997 in Mike Dubose's first year, and to Central Florida in 2000, which led to Coach Dubose's dismissal as our head football coach.
Yep.
And Steve Sloan was the athletic director at Central Florida at that time. And came back and beat us. And then in 2001, somebody by the name of Nick Saban brought his LSU team to Tuscaloosa and unleashed a passing attack on us like we had never seen before. If people think about this year's team being so un-Saban-like, you go back to 2001, LSU beat us on homecoming 35-21, and it wasn't as close as it sounds. Rohan Davey completed 35 of 44 passes for 528 yards.
That may be a record.
It is a record against us. Yeah. It is. And Josh Reed caught 19 of them for 293 yards.
Wow.
And it was brutal.
Wow, that's unreal.
Why
were we playing LSU at homecoming? I just don't get it.
I don't know.
With all the alums, I mean, the alums are here every game anyway. Yeah. But you want a team you know you're going to beat at homecoming.
You're right there. You're running out of options in October because now the schedule is tough.
It is.
We've been lucky to have Arkansas and Missouri and some SEC teams that have been down recently the schedule for homecoming.
Yep, you're right. But even those teams, even those teams are decent programs.
Game,
you know? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, regarding today's game against Missouri, this will be the sixth time we've played the Tigers. And surprisingly, we have a narrow 3-2 lead over them, games to two. The first two times we played them were blowouts in Missouri's favor.
Yep.
In the 1968 Gator Bowl, we had a good team. We were 8-2 going in. Our only two losses were to Ole Miss and Tennessee by a combined 3 points.
Yep.
So our defensive team was pretty stout that year until we met Missouri, And the Tigers whipped Alabama 35-10 in the Gator Bowl, and it was the first time all season we'd given up more than 16 points.
Yep.
Well, we're going to take a short break here, Tommy, but we're going to come right back and finish talking about Missouri and then also get into your picks, because I hope that that's not going to happen today, and Bryant-Denny certainly, to this Alabama or this Missouri team. You're in the Skybox here on 90.7 The Capstone.
I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7, The Capstone. Hey, hey, hey.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7, The Capstone. We've been talking with Tommy Ford of UA Athletics, and right now, Tommy, we're talking about the history of Bama and Missouri, and I think you were talking about one loss, 35-21. But then I think the next game you were about to get into.
Well, the Gator Bowl was 35-10 when Missouri beat us so bad. Kind of a surprise since we really had a good defensive team that year. And then there was 1975, and Mark, you remember that well.
Legion I was Field. There.
We were sophomores.
Yep.
At Alabama.
Yep.
And it was a Monday night.
Yep.
And everybody was excited. We had not lost a regular season game in two seasons. We were 22-0, and then Notre Dame had beaten us in the 73 and 74 bowl games.
Right.
But regular season-wise, we were 22-0. So we roll into Legion Field on a Monday night, and we're playing Missouri. And they unleashed a running back named Tony Galbraith on us, and they won 20-7. And we were ranked second in the nation, and he mowed us over for about 120 yards on 32 carries. Our powerful wishbone attack only had 31 yards rushing.
Wow. I didn't remember
on 34 carries.
Wow.
And Coach Bryant called it a, quote, good old sound country beating, unquote. But following that game, the Tide rolled off 11 straight wins, culminating in a win over Penn State in the first Sugar Bowl played in the New Orleans Superdome. And that's the one where Coach Bryant didn't wear his houndstooth hat because his mama taught him not to wear a hat indoors. So then Alabama had to make that return trip to Missouri, which they did in 1978 to Columbia. And it was a somewhat of a trap game because it was squeezed in between Nebraska and Southern Cal. And Alabama defeated the Tigers 38-20, and we were down 20-17 at the half, but pulled away with 21 unanswered points in the second half. And, of course, that 78 team went on to win the national championship with this dramatic goal line stand game against Penn State in the Sugar Bowl. And, you know, just 3 weeks ago we had the 40-year reunion of that 78 team,
right?
At our A&M game,
which you put together. That's
that's just absolutely. It was so cool to see all those guys, and we were in school with them, so I've known them most of them for a long time. But it was great to see them, and they really enjoyed it. 40 years later, so we end up, you know, winning the first game against Missouri in 78, and the last two have not been as close. In Missouri's first year in the SEC in 2012, we were not very kind to them. We went up to Columbia, and it was a game delayed in the second quarter by rain and lightning. Eddie Lacy scored on the game's second play, and the route was on. Lacy ended up with 176 yards, and T.J. Yeldon added 144 more yards, and we won 42-10. And then in the 2014 championship game, SEC championship game, Missouri hung with the Tide for three quarters, but Alabama scored 21 points in the fourth quarter to win 42-13. And Blake Sims, who along with Jake Coker is an honorary captain for today's game, was a stellar 23 of 27 for 262 yards.
Yeah.
And Derrick Henry, who would have a monstrous Heisman Trophy season the next year, ran for 141 yards and two touchdowns. So that is our 3-2 history with Missouri.
Yeah, interesting. You know, because, again, the teams aren't rivals. They haven't played enough to be, but and Missouri's not been in the SEC that long. So, you know, they, but now, of course, although Missouri's in the East, so it's which I don't quite understand that, by the way. I think they should be in the West, but, you know, I'm a geography guy. No, it's you know, but
it bothers me too.
Yeah, so Bama still won't play them that much, but certainly play them more now than they used to. And I like Missouri's program. I mean, you know, they're not at the level of the elite teams in the SEC, but the fact they won the SEC East a couple of years in a row, right after they joined the league here, is pretty impressive, I think.
Yeah, they had a lot of success early on, and it's tapered off since then. But the fact that we've already played them in an SEC championship game,
I mean, it's something. It is something. And today's game, you know, they'll come in and they'll fight. I mean, they'll play hard, I'm sure.
They will, and they scored a lot of points against Georgia a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
It should be a crazy game.
Well, to that extent, let's get into some picks with you.
Okay.
Adam and I are going to make our fearlessly bad picks here a little later, but I want to go over all these games with you. We're throwing one out here to Dr. George Brown, who used to be on the show with us and was head of UA Rec, and now he's head of recreation and wellness up at University of Minnesota. So we're throwing in Minnesota at Ohio State. That appears to be kind of a cupcake pick.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'll hate to disappoint George, but I'm picking the Buckeyes.
Probably used to it by now.
I think he's picking the Buckeyes too, probably, in this one. They go into Columbus. So another one, though, that may be a little tougher to pick. Also here in just a few minutes at 11 a.m. Central Time, Iowa at Indiana. What do you think?
I'm going with Iowa. I don't have any reason to go either way. I love Iowa and what they do at home with the waving to the kids in the hospital.
That's great.
And I become an Iowa fan because of that. So just from my heart, I pick Iowa.
All right, good.
They looked good the other week.
Yeah.
They played real well.
Go Hawkeyes. Tennessee at Auburn. Now, you know, Tommy's wife went to Auburn, Robin.
That's right.
And so it's
coming off
a
tough week, Auburn.
They are coming off a tough week.
But every week is tough for Tennessee, and so they're also coming off a tough week.
This is the solution to coming off a tough week, right? No, who you got, Tommy?
Auburn easily. Yeah. At least, I don't know, 2-3 touchdowns.
They bounce back and have a big
game. Yeah, they will.
All right. Oklahoma State at Kansas State. I won't be watching that one, but it's a
– not a great game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with Oklahoma State. I think the road team will win.
All right. Here's an interesting one, though. In Atlanta, Duke at Georgia Tech. What do you think?
I'm going with the Yellow Jackets.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And I just think their wishbone / option offense is just too hard to defend, to get prepared for a one-game thing. And they'll run up a lot of yards and think beat Duke.
All right. Tough pick, I thought. Well, not necessarily a tough pick, but an interesting game, though. Big game in the SEC. Georgia at LSU, and, Georgia may not have been tested like they're going to get tested this afternoon in Baton Rouge.
Well, I'm going with LSU in an upset.
All right. Wow.
Because no player on Georgia's team has played in Baton Rouge, I don't think.
Oh, wow, interesting.
So I think they're going to be a little intimidated. Now, it is a day game, and that is so foreign to the LSU team as well for big games. They've never seen sunlight, on a big game.
Perhaps they start drinking early in Baton Rouge. Okay, I shouldn't say that, but we've all been to Baton Rouge.
LSU's backs are against the wall. They already have one loss in the conference, and they can't expect to keep pace with Alabama if they have two losses. And I think I think LSU will win.
Could get a little dark maybe in the fourth quarter. Maybe it starts.
Maybe.
But not enough for him.
That's
a good pick. I think that's a fearless pick.
Yeah, that is a fearless pick. And, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. A big game in the Pac-12, also at 2:30. That's actually 12:30 their time, I guess, out there. Washington at Oregon.
Well, I'm going with Mario Cristobal and Oregon. I like Mario, and Bobby Williams is out there on the staff now as well. And, they just absolutely gave that game away a few weeks ago. And they've got a good team. And as good as Washington is, I think Oregon will win.
All right.
I think that's a fearless pick, too. Could be considered. South Carolina got a big win in the rain last week. Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher travels now to South Carolina. Does Muschamp really have something together with this new quarterback? Is this going to last a while, or are they just going to get whipped?
I don't think so this weekend. I'm going with the Aggies. I don't know. I think that they're a little bit up against the wall as well, and I just think there's too much at stake, and I think Texas A&M will pull it out.
Yeah. I tried to build it up, but it's not going to be that exciting, is it?
No.
Michigan State at Penn State. Michigan State struggled here recently. Penn State trying to pull it back together after that Ohio State loss a couple weeks ago, which is crushing, playing a relatively bad Sparty team at home.
Yeah. I'm going with Penn State. I've been up there five times. I went four of the five road games in the 80s, and I went back in 2011 up there. It's a wonderful place to play football, and the crowd is unbelievable, and I just don't see any way the Spartans can beat Penn State in State College.
All right, all Nittany Line there. UCF at Memphis, a game that Mark talked about a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I'm going with the Golden Knights.
Yeah,
I don't think Memphis has enough to upset Central Florida.
Yep.
We'll skip over our game here real quick, but West Virginia at Iowa State.
It was a tough call. I'm going for a little upset. I'll go with the home team, Iowa State.
Ooh, the Cyclones at home.
Cyclones at home. A little upset of West Virginia.
Iowa State knows how to upset undefeated teams.
They do.
They got a history of this.
They sure do. It sure helped us in 2011.
That's for
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll see how that goes. That is good. That's going to be a really interesting game and have some national implications because West Virginia is unbeaten.
The actual big game right here in the Big Ten, Mark, your khaki lord here.
Yeah. Harbaugh. He's got his hands full today with Wisconsin. He may have to drink some extra whole milk for this one.
Yeah, well.
Who you got, Tom?
I'm going with Michigan, reluctantly, but I think at home, and they are playing better, scoring some points finally, so I'll go with Michigan.
Yeah.
Disappointing a lot of people who picked Wisconsin to be in the playoff.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that may be gone already, right? All right, Ole Miss at Arkansas. Big game between those two teams, not necessarily.
Yeah, tough. You know, tough one to pick. It's in, I think, Little Rock, right? It's their one game in Little Rock.
Oh, that's right. It is.
And, you know, it's hard to pick that game. We've seen them both. I was just a little more impressed with Arkansas than I was with Ole Miss when we played them. Now, Arkansas has stunk it up as well and not scored at all, hardly. And, you know, North Texas beat them. Auburn held them to 3 points while they put up 31 or 30 on us. So, but I'm going to go with the home team, Arkansas.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, you're right, though. I mean, it's kind of a hard one to pick.
Yep.
Because, you know, they both can score, you know, put it that way. Colorado at USC. This one's a tough pick.
Yeah, I'll just go with the home team, Southern Cal.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, there's not much to do on this one. I think who knows who's going to win this game? Who knows which USC is going to show up?
Well, and Colorado's one of those teams that also unbeaten.
Yep.
But I don't think anybody believes they're going to get through this year unbeaten.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And going to Southern Cal is somewhat intimidating in the Coliseum. You know, so
yeah, you've been out.
Of course,
there
won't be anybody there,
right?
Yeah. You know, right, absolutely. And plus, I've read they've actually made you can't even park there now. They've got they're sort of making people take public transportation to get there. All right, let's go back to our big game here, and with Missouri coming into Bryant-Denny, and how do you see that unfolding today?
Well, I see Alabama winning. I'm picking 42-17. Similar to one of those SEC championship game scores or the one in Missouri 2012. I don't think we'll get into the 50s and 60s, but just based on what I've seen of Missouri and what I've seen of us, I'll go 42-17 tie.
All right, okay. How do you – what, Tua, Hurts, you expect to see them in the game at the same time
again?
I mean,
I certainly don't have any inside information. I did not expect to see them in the game at the same time last game, and there they were. You know, that was the rumor for the first game that was going to happen, and it didn't, but it took five games or so to get into the season to do that. But I expect both to play a lot, and think we'll. I think the crowd will be energized. First night game. It's cooler. You know, it's right. going to be probably high 60s at kick or low
perfect
70s.
Absolutely perfect.
And the you know, obviously everybody's excited.
Yeah.
In homecoming.
Well, look, before we got just like 3 minutes left before we get out of here, I want to talk to you a little bit about your new book. Everybody can, you know, Alabama's 2017 national championship. It's a fantastic book, and you know, I know it's on Amazon, and they can go to Whitman is the publisher.
Whitman Publishers. It's of course on Amazon. It's at the Bryant Museum. It's at both superstores here on campus.
Right.
It is at Sam's now. It is at Barnes & Noble here in Tuscaloosa. And then Books A Millions, wherever they are, has them as well. And it was an interesting look at last season and the unlikely finish and how everything turned out for us. Scott Cochran wrote the foreword for the book. It's pretty interesting. It kind of goes into the year and sort of their mantra. I spent a good bit of time talking to Brian Dable after the game, after he had left here, to get an inside view of, you know, the final play and what happened and what it's called and what their theories were about running it, and then Tua's almost supernatural ability to look right and throw left to win the game for us and the national championship. It is the biggest play in Alabama football history. In my opinion, because there's no other play that comes close to being a walk-off for a national championship.
You're right.
The Penn State goal line stand was great, but there were 6 minutes to go in the game in that particular game, and we still had to hold them one more time. There have been the Tiffin kick, but it wasn't for the national championship. And then this is – I don't see how any play can compare. But we go into a lot of detail with that and – really highlight the captains and what they did, and Kent Gidley and his staff did an unbelievable job with all the photos, and it's a sort of a keeper, you know, a coffee table kind of book that'll last a lifetime.
Yeah, it's beautiful. We talked about it earlier before we went on air, but it's a beautiful, beautiful package, and the photographs are incredible. It's a really, really pretty thing that you're going to want to keep out, even if the 18 version comes out after a little while.
It's
an incredible package.
Tommy mentioned that one of the best parts. It's a great book, and one of the best parts is you mentioned I have not seen that final play broken down anywhere but your book like this.
And we have the actual play on paper and all that with the kind of X's and O's type play that was compiled by Brian Dable after the game, and the actual physical play was auctioned off at the Knicks Kids charity golf tournament back in June. And then I got a version of that and put it in the book, the actual they call it Seattle.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the receivers go down the right and one to the left and to a – looked at the free safety heading that way and threw the other way, and it's history.
It's incredible. What a play. Like you said, probably the most important play in Alabama history in terms of that, the stage.
Because you could never beat it, right? I mean, there's just no way.
No.
At best, you could someday equal it, but never are you going to beat it. And even if you equal it, it's not the first time still. And
no.
Yeah.
Well, it's a really good book, and you know, and Tommy, this is your ninth book, I believe, right? So
something like that. I've done a few updates of other books, so whatever.
Nine. Yeah. Well, it's you know, nobody's written at the kind of depth that you've written about Alabama football over a long period of time, and so I think as people are looking at that book, your other books are on sale too in the stores with them.
And, the Bear Bryant on Leadership book that I wrote with Pat Williams back in 2010 is still around. I know some actually classes have used it before for leadership principles, and in some bookstores it's in the leadership management section, and some it's in the sports section, but it's still available. And then Carson Tinker's book is still floating around out there. I was able to write his book back in 2014. Of his incredible career here.
Yeah. Well, that's been, I think, again, it's just, this is the latest, and as Adam mentioned, you'll probably have another one perhaps if they continue to keep winning, which we think they will. So We'll have you back on next year to talk about that one, right?
That would be an honor, yes.
Well, look, thanks, Tommy, for being here. It's been
Thank
a pleasure
y'all.
To have you, and just great to have you. And come back anytime. We appreciate you spending time with us.
All right, appreciate y'all.
Yep, thanks. We're going to take a short break, and Adam and I will be right back to make some of our perhaps not so fearless picks. So we'll see how we do against Tommy. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7, the Capstone.
Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7, the Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7, the Capstone. Tommy Ford made some good game picks, and so let's see if we can try to match him or best him here. We've had a rough couple of weeks here of picks where the biggest winner has been the slightly least loser of the group, I guess, right? I mean, none of us are kind of lighting the world on fire, but
we
start again in Columbus with the Buckeyes hosting the Gophers. The Fighting George Browns go into the Shoe. Ohio State struggled last week trying to get their act together before pulling away against Indiana. Had kind of a hangover game, I would say.
They did.
But you'd have to have some kind of hangover to lose to the Golden Gophers, right, at this point?
You would. Gophers are not playing very good. They're not rowing that boat fast
They're
enough.
They're not. Really.
They're not. I think Ohio State's going to just kill them, I believe, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Ohio State all the way here.
Yep, yep.
Iowa at Indiana. Does Iowa have it on the road to beat Indiana, a team that really looked relatively decent last week, I thought?
They did. They did. This is an interesting game and a tough pick. Tommy went with the Hawkeyes, and I guess I'll go with the Hawkeyes, too. I'll go with Iowa.
I think Iowa's going to certainly pull this one out. We're trying to make it to be a bigger deal than it is. Tennessee, speaking of folks that think they're a bigger deal than they are, Tennessee is playing at Auburn, an Auburn team that's licking their wounds after not making it out of Stark Vegas.
Right.
But a Tennessee team that is just not very good, Mark.
No.
You know more about them than most folks.
Yeah, I get all my intel from VolNation.com.
Yep, a lot of research.
Yeah, lots of research there, and some brilliant people commenting about their coaching situation.
Yep.
You know, the dumpster fire's been burning on VolNation now for about a decade, I guess.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'm going with Auburn on that. You just, you know, Auburn's going to even – and even with their offensive problems, they're gonna beat the Vols.
Yeah, it's a tough week to beat Tennessee because Auburn's gonna be ticked off, and Tennessee's a great team to take it out on at home, frankly, because they just don't have enough to stop you or to really score against you.
Right, absolutely.
Oklahoma State going into Kansas State into the Little Apple here.
Yep, I'm gonna go Oak State on that. I just you know, Kansas State. Normally, I'd say that's a tough game at K-State, but I'm going Kansas State is not playing well.
They haven't shown much this year. I've tried to pick them once, and a couple other times I've been close, but this is not the Bill Snyder team that's going to upset you at home, certainly not today against Oklahoma State, I agree.
Yep.
I'll wrap up the early games here with the ACC just – I can't even come up with something to say about this game. Duke at Georgia Tech. This is a football game in the ACC on the ACC network here in 25, 35 minutes here, 11:20. I'm going with Tommy here. I don't think Duke can figure out the Georgia Tech offense enough to stop them for one week at a time, certainly.
Yeah.
Pulling it together.
I agree with you. I'm going with Georgia Tech just because of their that rushing triple option thing or all the things they got going. Duke is unbeaten still, I believe, but Tech's tough. It's tough to prepare for that kind of an offense when you don't play that kind of an offense very often, and I think Tech's going to just run all over them.
Yep.
You know? All right.
I'm all Tech as well.
Yep. 2:30 games, the big one, Georgia at LSU, and Tommy was pretty fearless on this, picking
Tommy went Tigers.
LSU. Yeah.
Yep. I think this is the hardest game of the day. I think it's easy to say that Georgia's going to go in there and win, and LSU's been a bit spotty, but this is the kind of game that LSU can win and kind of rally around for the next few weeks, which could be dangerous for us, certainly, when we go in there in a couple weeks. But I'm going to pick Georgia to win here on the road. I think Tommy's right. If this was a 6 o'clock kick, then I think that LSU would be a slightly easier pick that I'd feel better about. But I think Georgia's going to keep it rolling here on the road at LSU, and LSU just doesn't quite have enough.
I agree. I think Georgia's, you know, Georgia's going to win it. It may be decently close. Probably will be, but I do think that LSU doesn't. Their offense is not good enough to outscore Georgia's way I look at it. Georgia's offense is good enough to put points on the board, even against a good LSU defense,
good way to put
and it comes down to that. So I'm going with the Bulldogs too. Washington at Oregon, a truly big game in the Pac-12. And, you know, one of these teams, I mean, Washington, if they continue to win, could some outside chance of getting into the Final Four. But right now, looking like Pac-12's not going to put anybody in the playoff this year.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon's quietly gotten better and better week after week, and I think that they certainly don't have it all together, but they're looking more like the Oregon of years past. I think Washington goes on the road and wins this game and stays in the mix for a few weeks more. I think that the Pac-12 will beat themselves up and probably find themselves out of the playoff, especially if Clemson keeps on winning, because they're an easy team in the ACC to go. But I'm going to take Washington on the road here.
I'm going to go Oregon. I'm going to go with Tommy on this one. I think the Ducks at home. You know, I think this is a really good game. It's hard to pick. I like Washington a lot. I mean, I'd like to see him win. I'd like to be wrong about this one, but I'm going to go with the Ducks on this one.
All right. There's a little bit of fearlessness there.
A little bit. Yep. A&M at South Carolina, the game we don't really care about, but Muschamp and Jimbo.
Yeah, I picked up a game last week picking South Carolina. I still think they're awful, and I think A&M's a little bit better. And so I think Jimbo goes in there and gets a win, but
I'm with you. I'm going to go A&M on this. I think I have picked against South Carolina and lost the pick, but I think, you know, neither team is great. South Carolina seems to be playing a little better than I might have expected, but I think A&M's the better team.
Still playing much better than South Carolina.
Yeah.
Even on a bad day.
Yep.
Michigan State, Penn State in the Big Ten. Michigan State lost to somebody bad last week. I forget who it was, but I think Penn State wins this one at home pretty easily. This is not the game for the lead in the Big Ten anymore. This is somewhat meaningless at this point. But Sparty just doesn't have it this year. It's kind of sad to watch Sparty go away so quickly.
Yeah, right, Gary. I think Penn State will run them right out of there.
Yeah, me too.
I think they're gonna blow out Michigan State. So we'll see. What normally would be a big game between these two teams, UCF at Memphis, and I guess it is. UCF isn't. It is kind of interesting. They've creeped into the top 10, or in one of the two. Maybe they're outside in the coaches and in an AP. Yeah. I'm not sure, but they're not going to get. I think they win this. I think they'll win this game, but I don't think they're going to get any more respect in this one. Memphis isn't as good as they have been.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Beating this Memphis team is not going to be that impressive, but they're going to do it for sure. And George Brown's Memphis Tigers don't have enough this year to kind of make it interesting.
That's right. Pretty big game out in Iowa, West Virginia at Iowa State. You know, who you got in this?
Tommy went Cyclones, didn't he?
He did. He went with the upset.
Home team upset.
Right.
I don't have enough faith in the Cyclones to have them beat West Virginia, but West Virginia can lay an egg every now and again. But I think they remain unbeaten, even though it doesn't really mean all that much at this point in their schedule. But I think West Virginia gets the win on the road.
Yeah, I think they do too. I think they got Will Greer running that offense. I think they'll, I think both teams are going to put up a fair amount of points. But West Virginia's D seems to be a little better than it has been in the past, and they certainly have a good offense. So I'm going West Virginia to remain unbeaten in that game.
The actual game I think that matters in the Big Ten this week is Wisconsin at Michigan here tonight at 6:30, kind of overlapping with our game. It's khaki against milk, khaki versus right. I mean, there's kind of milk on both sides here. It's a very dairy heavy game due to Harbaugh's involvement. But do the Badgers have what it takes to go into the Big House and beat Michigan today?
Yeah, I don't think they do. I think Michigan's getting stronger. You know, they had that early loss to Notre Dame. They didn't look very good, didn't play very well. Since that time, they've really gotten up off the mat. And and played pretty well. Now, they haven't really had any big games to speak of, you know, that I can recall since Notre Dame. I mean, they've been able to blow people out. They have had some slow starts, but I think it's a pretty good Michigan team, and I think this year they're better than Wisconsin, especially in the Big House.
Yeah, I think this is a tough one. The early Wisconsin loss to BYU was just unforgivable, really. But, you know, they've beaten Iowa, they've beaten Nebraska, which is no kind of tall tale at this point. But I think Michigan has gotten better since that loss, you're right. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to pick Michigan here, something I don't like to do very often. But I think at home they're going to win, and Wisconsin's just not going to be enough to beat them.
Yep, I agree. The game that I don't care about, but that, you know, it's kind of the dregs of the SEC as things have turned out. That's all in terms of the standings. Ole Miss at Arkansas.
Yeah, I can't tell if it's more fun the last few years when Ole Miss has flirted with relevance during the season or not, but this season with them not being in the mix at all, they really are just the eastern version of Arkansas right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are.
Because Mississippi State's been interesting this year.
Yeah.
Ole Miss is not, and so I need to look at who I picked here. I don't want to pick this game.
I think I'm changing my pick on this came in here with.
I'm going to go Arkansas at home. Yeah. I think that there's a chance that they have a hangover from playing us, and that they don't have enough juice in the tanks to beat Ole Miss, but Ole Miss has looked awful. So I'm going Arkansas. I don't know if that's switching or not, but I don't remember what I wrote down.
I think I put down Ole Miss, and I'm just like you, I'm going Arkansas, and mainly on the strength of the points they put up against Bama.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
And I think they'll put up more points than that on Ole Miss, and I don't think Ole Miss will be able to match him. So, yeah, I'm going to go Arkansas.
Yeah, that's funny. I think we're both flipping.
So we're both flipping on this one. All right.
Colorado at USC is the last game that's not with the defending national champions in it that we'll talk about today. So Colorado at USC, do you got anything here interesting?
I'm tough one on this, but I don't know. I can't remember who I picked in this one, too. I'm going to go USC because they're the home team. I think Tommy went that way.
Yep.
I'm going to go with the Trojans.
I'm going Colorado on the road. That's what I wrote down. I don't know why, but let's give it a shot. Maybe it'll be interesting enough to watch the first half before I go to sleep.
You're right. So, it is a 9:30 start.
9:30 kickoff. 12
at night. Yeah, no doubt.
Well, those are our picks from around the country. Let's see how bad we are as we tally them up throughout the day. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back to talk about our own homecoming game here with Missouri this evening. You're listening to the Skybox on
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7, The Capstone.
Hey. Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7, The Capstone. The campus is buzzing. It's homecoming. We've talked about all the other games, but Bama's got the Missouri Tigers coming in here at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it was fascinating to hear Tommy's history of homecoming. I work with homecoming here on campus and certainly knew none of that. And fascinating history in playing teams like LSU and Mississippi State, our trivia question that both you and I bombed, and
all
the other teams that we used to play, and trying to schedule a team that you're going to win and allow your alums and families to have a nice time over homecoming. So, gosh, I don't want to watch LSU on homecoming. I don't want to watch any of those teams that we mentioned. I like having an SEC East team, though. It's worked out that we've had Arkansas a couple times in the years past and now Missouri to have SEC games that are still pretty good games to have during homecoming, and we lucked out this year with the date. It is out of nowhere, magically, the nice weather came through, and so we've sat through some 95-degree homecoming games before, so it's lovely to feel like fall. There'll be sweatshirts in the crowd, and people will break out the long sleeves for the evening kickoff, and it should be a great environment. I'm sure it's a great environment on the quad already, and it'll be great this afternoon. We got the parade this afternoon at 1 o'clock, and so it's a great day. I don't know if you looked at the – seen some pictures of downtown online. They've got some great painting on the windows. You know, they do that downtown, and so you can certainly feel homecoming throughout the city as we have towards the end of this week and weekend. And it's a good game for us to be able to watch. I mean, again, we've been struggling to find things to talk about with this team, areas to work on. But Arkansas scored a bunch of points last week, far more than any of us predicted.
Absolutely.
And so that's certainly something I'm sure the players have heard about all week to prevent that from happening. And like Tommy said, watching Jalen and Tua in the same play, even the one time we saw it, was just incredible. And we thought maybe we'd see that earlier this season, but you don't want to show too many wrinkles against a team like Arkansas State or something. But just a little wrinkle that we showed to Arkansas, which will be exciting to watch of things to come, you're right, as we get closer to LSU and other games. Not that we should overlook Missouri, but I got to imagine this is another blowout today.
I agree with you. I Missouri's got probably a better offense than Arkansas. You know, they're going to come in. But I have to think Bama's worked on those problems this week, and the defense is going to look better. And I think the offense is, we've seen no signs of them slowing down Bama's offense. But Missouri always is an interesting team to play. It's great. It's a one reason it's really good is Bama doesn't play them that often.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're in the conference, and I think it helps the conference, and so it should be an interesting game. But as you said, I think I agree with you that it's going to be a blowout game, I believe. I think the score is the only thing that I'm wondering about. Tommy said it might be a little less at 42. Right. It's funny with Alabama to say that's not quite 30, as much.
35 in the first quarter, one touchdown in the second quarter, and then pump the brakes, right?
I tend to think, though, they're going to get over 50 again.
Yeah.
I really do. I think Missouri's defense is not good enough to stop. It's almost like up to Bama as to when they take Tua out. The defense, Bama does have some problems on defense that hopefully they got worked out. But the offense seems to have no problem right now. They're running on all cylinders. I think it'll be more like 52 to 14, 52 to 10, 52 to 10, 52 to 14.
It's funny. I was just going to say like 55, 10.
All right.
And I was almost at 13 because Missouri is a better offense than Arkansas, but I think maybe 55, 10. And we're it's going to be a slow second half of a lot of two or three first down drives and punts or getting rid of the ball, because I think we're going to pump the brakes early on this one. But should be a great environment as the sun goes down and it's chilly, and just I think we're going to have a great time here at Bryant-Denny tonight.
But, yeah, lots of tailgating there. You know, homecoming brings a lot of tailgating, and great with this kind of finally fall weather. And about time in the middle to late October, suddenly have a chill in the air, which we haven't had, and so it should be fun for everybody. Hopefully, Bama will take care of business early, it won't be a tense game for Bama fans. So we'll see. But then after that, we go on the road to Tennessee, right?
And then a bye week, and then on the road in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, so this season's moving on.
Yep.
I mean, this is the seventh game, right, this evening. So very, very interesting. Well, look, I think, it was great to have Tommy here.
Absolutely.
It was he brought some great history with him, and always good to have him here. So we really appreciate him coming along. And thanks also to Imani Williams, who will mix this show for us. And I think that does it for us today.
It does. Another week.
And Andrew, I guess, will be back with us next week. So we'll see. We'll figure out where is Andrew.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
need that Where's Waldo thing.
Right.
You know. So we'll figure out where he is. Everybody out there traveling to the game today, be safe, be careful, enjoy your day, and come back and listen to us again right here on the radio, same station, same time. Next week, you've been in the Skybox on 90.7, the Capstone. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, everybody.
This is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.